From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Penso che un sogno così non ritorni mai più. Mi dipingevo le mani e la faccia di blu.
And we're in Volare, the latest of director Woody Allen's trio of films, is set in the great European capitals. It's To Rome with Love, with a big sprawling ensemble cast of characters living and loving in the eternal city. Two of them played by the two terrific young actresses who are with us today, Ellen Page, star of Juno, and indie sensation Greta Gerwig. We'll talk with them about Woody Allen, about their careers, and what it's like to be a smart up-and-comer in Hollywood now. This hour on Point, actresses Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig. You can join the conversation. What are your questions for two of Woody Allen's latest muses? Were you blown away by Ellen Page in Juno or Inception, by Greta Gerwig in Greenberg or Hannah Takes the Stairs? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here's a little bit from the trailer of To Rome with Love, showcasing the film's big American and Italian cast, including Woody Allen himself as a retired opera director in Rome to meet his daughter's fiancé.
I'm from Roma. My job is to stand up here, and I see all people in Roma. All is a story.
They gave us such a great room. You know, you married a very bright guy. I got 150, 160 IQ.
You're figuring it in euros. In dollars, it's much less.
Woody Allen and Judy Davis right there in the trailer from To Rome with Love. Joining me now from New York are Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig. They star in To Rome with Love. It's out this Friday. Ellen Page's films include Inception, Drew Barrymore's roller derby film Whippet, and her breakout leading role in Juno. Her role as pregnant teen Juno won her an Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations for Best Actress and a nod from Roger Ebert for the Best Film Performance of the Year. Ellen Page, welcome to On Point. It's great to have you with us.
Ah, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
And Greta Gerwig started off in the indie world on both sides of the camera, writing and starring in mumblecore films like Hannah Takes the Stairs and Nights and Weekends. She's also been in big Hollywood fare like Greenberg with Ben Stiller, No Strings Attached. She stars in Lola Versus, also out right now. New York Times film critic A.O. Scott, our buddy here, wrote that Gerwig may be the definitive screen actress of her generation. Good luck with that, Greta. I mean, I'm sure, of course. Greta Gerwig, welcome to you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, A.O. puts that around your neck, and now you've got expectations, but I suppose that's good.
It's better than no expectations.
Yes. We've got high hopes. We've got great expectations, and you guys are making it happen already. There's so much we want to ask you about, but I wish you'd just describe for us how this works. You're in a Woody Allen film, one of the series of films he's been shooting in Europe for years now, in London and Paris and Barcelona, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Midnight in Paris and all the rest. This one's got a big ensemble cast. That is not unusual for a Woody Allen film. Greta, what happens in this film? What's the sort of sprawl of stories going on here?
Well, I would say they're all stories of love with a slightly fantastical element to them. And they very much feel like Rome. It's very romantic, but it feels somewhat like a fairy tale or something. And I think that that's what Woody found in these various stories. But they're like four different stories of people in Rome.
And Ellen, one of the threads, one of the stories is an interaction with you and Greta and Jesse Eisenberg right in the middle of it. Describe your narrative thread in this movie, if you would.
Well, Greta and I play best friends in the film, and the character I play goes to visit her and her boyfriend, who she's living with at the time in Rome, played by the wonderful Jesse Eisenberg. And Greta's character is slightly concerned with this young woman who's coming over because, for whatever reason, guys can tend to fall for her, and she's concerned. And as Jesse and I spend time together, there are some sparks that begin to fly, and drama ensues.
Right. Greta's character is concerned, but not half as concerned as Alec Baldwin. This really older architect runs into Jesse Eisenberg's character, young architect on the streets of Rome. Hears about this this girl coming, Monica, who's going to be staying with them, and the Baldwin eyes are rolling. right away. This is kind of setting up your arrival, Ellen Page, but let's listen here. This is where Greta, playing Sally, girlfriend to Jack, the Jesse Eisenberg character. Here's a scene where she tells Jack that her friend Monica will be coming to stay with them. Meanwhile, Alec Baldwin is there, kind of floating around, funny character. We'll talk about that, but he's offering Jack advice and really worried about what's shaping up here. You'll hear Gerwig as Sally first.
You're just going to love her. She's smart and funny and interesting. Men just adore her. I think it's because of the sexual vibe that she gives off.
Mm-hmm. And how long is she coming for?
Oh, I don't know. Between the breakup and then her acting career isn't going that well.
Jesus Christ, can't you see the situation is fraught with peril?
Oh, give me a break. Her friend is coming. What do I care? I'm not looking for anything. I'm perfectly happy with Sally and, actually, judging from Sally's description, Monica's kind of like a neurotic, unpredictable type.
Beautiful, funny, smart, sexual, and also neurotic. It's like filling an inside straight. Monica. Even her name is hot.
Okay, Alec Baldwin there with Greta Gerwig and Jesse Eisenberg. Okay, Ellen, I've got questions for you, but Greta, first to you on this front. I mean, help us out here to understand how this worked. Maybe it's just because Jesse Eisenberg sat at this table with me not so long ago, you know, and he was and has become for a lot of people Mark Zuckerberg. There's Alec Baldwin, who's kind of playing his 30 Rock character even in this show. For an actor or an actress, for us as just moviegoers, you guys become these people. What about for you when you're playing opposite them? There you are in a new movie. Does the resonance of their old roles, get in your way, or is it part of what you're playing off of, or not?
No, not at all. I don't. I think that they both definitely are very distinct as actors, and therefore, when they play whatever roles they play, mm-hmm.
They bring a character.
Right. There's a way that people, I think, believe that they are those people, which just means they're really good actors. But I think more than anything else, I was I would get distracted just by watching them act, but not because they were because I was associating them with their characters, but because I thought Alec and Ellen and Jesse were also. They were so skilled at making these tiny, subtle shifts and in their takes and the way that they would kind of move around the comedy but make it real. And I don't know. I was just impressed watching them act. But I really don't – when I look at them, I don't see their characters. I don't – maybe they really are different than their characters.
I guess we see them on screens and come to know them that way. You're there in the back lot and everything else. Alec Baldwin's character, of course – calls it right, and of course there are sparks and trouble, romantic style, with Jesse Eisenberg's character and Ellen Page's character, Monica. Here's a little bit of that when it gets going. Alec Baldwin's still kind of hovering around here, providing commentary.
How would you feel if I kissed you?
Oh, that is a non sequitur.
Oh, Little Miss Shocked. Didn't you see that 2 minutes ago? She popped the Tic Tac. What do you think that's about?
I'm serious. What would you think?
I would think that you're living with my best friend.
Yeah, this is true. And yet, I can't stop myself.
Oh, that's not good.
Wait, you didn't like it?
No, I liked it, and that's what's not good.
Ellen Page and Jesse Eisenberg getting to the kiss there. Ellen, is Woody is in this film and he directed it. Is he standing right there directing that kiss? How many takes? What was that scene like?
Oh, Lord. No, Woody doesn't do that many takes. And he is in the film, but the vignette that Greta and I partake in, he's not in.
Right. But is he directing you there, or does he farm that out like Michelangelo farming out a sculpture? I don't know.
No. Actually, working with Woody is a pretty free experience, in the sense that, first of all, you're working with such incredible material and mm-hmm. such well-written, natural fluidity to it. And a lot of Woody's technique is sort of, stepping back in a way. And it's almost, discerning, because, he's encouraging you to, even make it your own, despite being so assured and knowing what he wants. And he wants you to kind of make it as natural and as human as possible. And
but is it the old-time movie picture we have in our heads where you're there in front of the camera, he's in the folding chair with, you know, watching and, oh, let's do this, let's do that? Is that the way?
I mean, no, actually, he sort of lets... he kind of just lets the actors work, you know? And I mean, if he's not liking something, he'll, you know, you'll talk about it. But he sort of likes to allow what seems like a kind of like natural flow and evolution to occur. And it's a nice experience as an actor. And when you're working with such amazing actors like Greta and Jesse and Alec, it, I think, allows for something that's very organic to happen. Amada mia, amore mio. Amada mia, amore mio. Amada mia, amore. Amada mia, amore mio. Amada mia, amore mio. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour with two of Hollywood's smartest, hot young actresses, Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig. Page from Juno and Inception, Gerwig from Greenberg and Lola versus out now. They star together in Woody Allen's new film out the end of this week, To Rome with Love. Ellen Page, Greta Gerwig working with Woody Allen. Here he was in April at a press conference in Rome, telling a reporter that his latest film is in some ways an homage to the country that produced what he considers some of the world's most inspiring cinema.
There's nothing conscious. It's just, it would have been impossible in the years that I grew up to have not been influenced by the Italian movies that came to New York.
And, of course, you can see it right here in To Rome with Love. And Woody Allen talking about working and getting older. It's a subplot, or maybe the major plot theme for him himself, his character in this movie. Here he was at the Cannes Film Festival in 2010, this film You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger, telling France 24 that he needs to work and create tirelessly, saying you'd go crazy without work.
You start to think about real problems. You start to think about, gee, I'm getting older. You know, life is short. And then, fortunately, when you work, that all gets put away. And so I work all the time out of desperation, out of fear to, you know, I finish a project and I don't want time off. I want to go right into the next one so I don't have time to sit in a chair and think about what a terrible situation all human beings are in.
there's Woody Allen. Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig are starring in To Rome with Love, his latest. They join us from New York. Greta, here's a director-actor who's merged so much of his off-screen and on-screen personas. I mean, and here he is on the screen in this film, really worried about working and keeping at it, or else, you know, there's that knock of death. What's it like to work with him on the set as opposed to what we see on the screen?
I would say his on-screen persona, or like the persona that sometimes comes across in interviews and press conferences, mm-hmm. and he's very funny and charming and sweetly neurotic and intellectual. But I think what's interesting is that as a director and as a person, he's very quiet. He's very soft-spoken. He's very purposeful, but he's not. He doesn't have actually an anxious energy surrounding him, mm-hmm. Which I think is not necessarily what you'd expect. He doesn't chatter to fill space. He speaks very little, and he speaks in a quiet voice, and he says what he means. And then, I mean, for me, that was unexpected, just based on his comedy persona, which is more nervous.
You know, with no disrespect, Woody Allen looks really old in this film. I mean, he is old, so, you know, that's just life. That's just natural. But could you feel that the theme that he's playing in the film, in his work? He doesn't have that anxiousness, you say, but can you feel the sort of weight of age in Woody Allen now, Ellen?
No, I mean, I don't know. It's like I'm just... I don't think that's something that I'm really thinking about when I'm talking about, you know, interacting with Woody. And maybe that's too because, like, I'm young. I'm 25 years old, you know. So it's someone who has been making films for decades and has made an impact on culture and cinema in a way that's quite profound. And, you know, I've sort of grown up with Woody always being something that was from before. Does that make sense? So maybe the age thing doesn't resonate with me as much.
How does he give the – Ellen says he gives free rein, Greta. How's that work? How do you get a sense of what it's going to be that you're going to do? Is it typed up somewhere in notes? Do you just read the script and bring your own thing to it? Do you think of his previous work as you deliver your work in this film?
Well, we were only given the script for our sections. And, I mean, for me, I just I didn't have a ton of material. I didn't have a ton of lines. So, like, the actual learning of lines wasn't something that was stressful. But, I did the preparation I was doing, but then I when I got to set, I was really nervous. It's Woody Allen. And he doesn't, like Ellen was saying, he gives you free rein, but he doesn't do a lot of takes. So there's a feeling that you have freedom, but you have the freedom to get it right.
or it's over and that's it.
So I think it was this combination of freedom, but also like, there's not that many chances.
So how do you respond to that? And does that mean you go more, probably, you take more risk or you take less risk if you only got one shot at it?
I think for me, it made me really nervous. And I think it kind of made me, I always screwed up the first take because I was so worried about screwing up the first take. I think in some ways it was made for a very pleasant schedule. The days were not long.
Was it in Rome you were shooting all this at?
Yeah.
That must be very pleasant indeed.
It was.
I mean, you're kind of famously low-key. Ellen, you're sort of famously live wire. How did you feel your quivering antenna sort of, work off this guy? I mean, how does that work?
Can you explain that more? Live wire.
Well, I mean, when I see you on screen, whether it's Juno or anything you're in, you seem, and in this character as well, you're just really on. Greta's got this kind of smooth energy. it's a little unflappability.
Languid.
Languid. Yes, I've seen that word in your clips.
No, I just made that up.
Well, I've seen it actually. Ellen's more. You're more electric. You're more like any little titch in the conversation you're going to respond to with your eyes or your facial expression or something. So there's the set. There's your maybe one take. There's Woody Allen. What are you keying off of as you're there doing your thing?
Well, you know, I think similar to Greta, I was actually relatively nervous, like compared to how I feel going into most projects, I suppose. I think this was also like a departure for me in regards to roles I played or things that I'm typically seen in or things that I'm sent to look at. And
why a departure? How so?
I guess I just I don't know. I suppose this character is just not necessarily similar along the line to things that I have done predominantly.
Because this is supposed to be a man killer,
more highly
sharky.
Sexual,
right?
Yeah, and it was wonderful to have that, like, I guess diversity. I mean, that's an exciting thing for any actor. But I think the thing with this was like you just had to be uber present and there. And I think the thing that honestly made it so wonderful is that you are working with wonderful material, and I was working with three actors who I just adore and had such an incredible time working with and getting to know. And I think we all had a really positive energy with one another, whether when we were filming or whether in the car at the end of the day. It was just like a really wonderful group of people, and that environment and Woody's set and just the Italian crew. I think I know it sounds silly, but when that kind of kind of organism like works together, and it made being present and natural. It allowed that to happen.
And Rome itself working around all of you, and he makes it, of course, lush as can be. Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig join us from New York City. They star in Woody Allen's new film, To Rome with Love. We've got callers for you guys. Andrew's calling. Hi, Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. So American Masters just did their great profile on Woody Allen. And I think in a way that like only an artist like Bob Dylan maybe even enters into the same conversation about, Woody Allen seems to have morphed from character to persona to interest over the span of his career. He started out doing, you know, wordplay and stand-up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He was making movies in New York. He's now in Europe. He's, you know, has this huge change in kind of persona, and you can't really nail him down. Given your experience working with him on this film, what is Woody Allen interested in creatively and intellectually at this point in his career? Who is he now?
All right, crack the brain open. Greta, what can you say?
Well, I mean, I think other people have taken on the job of psychoanalyzing Woody Allen much better than I could, because they're actually his psychoanalysis. But I think right now, like in his work, he seems to be in a certain way. To me, I mean, he's gone through obviously with Matchpoint and Vicky Cristina different phases, but he seems to be returning to almost a more purely, sweetly comedic perspective. It seems mm-hmm. like right now there seems to be a greater similarity with this film and Midnight in Paris to like Bananas or Sleeper or right. Love and Death. There seems to be more of like a sketch comedy style that's kind of sweetly imbued with whatever wisdom of age that he has. And I think that, I don't know, that seems right
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, there's a kind of simplicity in it. There's no question about a kind of, maybe that's part of the wisdom of age right there. Andrew, thanks for your call. Michael in Columbia, South Carolina. Michael, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I really wanted to ask Ellen to kind of compare and contrast working with, she's had just the opportunity to work with someone like Woody Allen, a genius who's worked with many generations of actors. And then I was wondering if she could compare that with her experience of working with Christopher Nolan, who's kind of the vanguard of this kind of younger movement of what I feel are just brilliant directors.
Batman, The Dark Knight, Inception, which Ellen was in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ellen, how about
cool. Yeah, interesting question. Yeah, I think the thing, you know, when communicating with directors is the reality is like actors, I think they all work differently, you know, and they come in with a different way of doing things, a different perspective on even how to work with an actor, you know. So each film you do and each person you work with most certainly has differences. And then when you talk about just even the kind of filmmaking that it is making a Woody Allen movie, you know, where you are shooting relatively quickly and you're shooting, you know, a segment in 2 to 3 weeks is profoundly different than shooting a movie that's like the vastness of a film like Inception with Christopher Nolan, who, is just a complete genius. And I think where the similarities exist between the two is like, you know, they're filmmakers because they love film, and that's what you feel first and foremost. And, you know, working with someone like Chris was an incredible experience because, you know, here we are shooting this movie with the budget that it has and the action or what have you that it has, but also this, you know, profoundly meaningful story to it. And working with Chris was actually extremely intimate and lovely, and he was completely there for as an actor, he was totally there, and you felt this like intimacy on the set while you're making this, you know, huge movie with this really, really incredible filmmaker who I think is a doing pretty incredible things, and Woody's obviously Woody Allen, and his sets are incredibly intimate and small, and it's a an incredible filmmaking experience.
Different scale from Inception, mm-hmm. for sure. We're talking with Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig. Here's just a little bit, Ellen Page in Christopher Nolan's Inception, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. She played Ariadne, a grad student designed to design dreams. Here's a scene where DiCaprio's character shows Ellen Page's character the ropes.
Remember, you are the dreamer. You build this world. I am the subject. My mind populates. You can literally talk to my subconscious. That's one of the ways we extract information from the subject.
How else do you do it?
By creating something secure, like a bank vault or a jail. The mind automatically fills it with information it's trying to protect. Understand?
Then you break in and steal it.
Well,
I guess I thought that the dream space would be all about the visual, but it's more about the feel of it. My question is, what happens when you start messing with the physics of it all?
Ellen Page in Inception. Dave is calling from Boston. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I don't know if this is just my imagination or not, but when I watch the most recent films, Woody films, it seems to me that the actors and actresses, or I guess mostly the actors, seem to take on, or the male actors, seem to take on the Woody persona. And actually, I feel like sometimes the female actors take on the Diane Keaton persona. And I'm just wondering whether that's a conscious thing or unconscious. And I especially saw it in Midnight in Paris with Owen Wilson.
Dave, I know exactly what you mean. Our time is short before the break. Ellen, I'm going to put that one to you because I think I see the same thing, that kind of gently frantic, manic thing. Sometimes you can't tell if it's Woody or Diane Keaton. They're both sort of merged in our memory. Did you feel some of that flowing in the way you played this one, Ellen?
I'm not sure. I mean, most certainly none of it is conscious. Like, you know.
But yet, you're acting for Woody Allen. There he is. You can't help think of his body of work.
You know, I'm like, perhaps that could be, manifested out of the fact that leading up to it, that's kind of the world you're in. And, the way in which he writes has, a very distinct rhythm to it. And, you're with him every day, all day, and perhaps it's something that unconsciously, or with some actors, perhaps consciously. I mean, I guess that would be a question for Owen Wilson. I mean, perhaps he's been asked it.
Right.
For me, if that is something that takes place in this film at all, it is purely unconscious. But I can imagine that it's very possible that it's something that just sort of comes out.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with two of Hollywood's smartest, hot, young actresses, Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig. Page from Juno and Inception, Gerwig from Greenberg and Lola Versus. They star together in Woody Allen's new film, To Rome With Love. It's out the end of this week. They join us today from New York. Here's a little scene from Greta Gerwig's other recent release, Lola Versus. She plays the nearly 30-year-old Lola, who talks with her mother, played here by Deborah Winger, about the heartbreak of being left by her fiancé.
Hey, remember how much I loved Cinderella as a kid? What a sick kid.
It's a classic.
It's what messes little girls up, because we all get obsessed with shoes, and then we think that some guy is going to come put them on our feet.
That is a man's job.
I actually thought I was living in a fairy tale, and that Luke's shoe fit me perfectly. I guess no shoe's a perfect fit, especially when you have slightly irregular feet.
Right. Well, you got to find your own style, baby.
Are you telling me to go shoe shopping?
Are you telling me to go shoe shopping? I love that line. Cameron's calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Cameron, you're on the air with Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig.
Hi, Cameron. Thanks for taking the call. Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking the call.
Hi.
I was actually wondering, I know with a lot of young actors and actresses right now, they can have a tendency to get typecast and play, I guess, a similar character. I know Jesse's gotten some criticism about that, and I was just wondering with Ellen and Greta, I guess, how they avoid that and how they can, I guess, work to make their characters different from movie to movie. And I'll take my answer off the air.
It's a great question, Cameron. I guess, on the one hand, you want to have a kind of a brand. On the other hand, you know, there's typecasting. What's the lure, the risk? Ellen, Paige, Greta Gerwig.
I don't know. I mean, I think it can be, that can be tricky, I guess. I think I feel like I have been really, really fortunate. And I've gotten to do very different things. And I enjoy the experience of being able to shoot a film like Inception and then afterwards shoot, you know, this independent film I did, Super, with Rainn Wilson, directed by James Gunn, and shot in, you know, a month in Shreveport, Louisiana, you know. And it's really awesome to be able to go from these kind of extremes. And I feel like that has been something that, not even necessarily intentionally, but has happened kind of more than once, where opposites have just kind of like coincided. And I've sort of been fortunate that that's kind of been in the natural progression, but I'm sure that's what any actor would mostly want, to be able to go from something, then do something profoundly different, and then hopefully the next time, et cetera. So,
And yet everybody gets a reputation, or maybe that's just a press narrative that settles around people. I mean, Greta, can you feel directors coming to you, or do you see them coming to other actresses for that thing you do?
I mean, in some ways, there's definitely things that I guess you become associated with, or a kind of rhythm or a style that's that seems to be yours. But I don't know. I mean, I think that sometimes, I feel like I loved actors who are transformative and changeling actors who, from movie to movie, you can't believe it's the same person. But I think what I like most, my favorite actors, there's always this kind of there's this core of just incredible honesty that that it's not about externally like creating a limp or like someone who has a patch on their eye or something crazy necessarily. It's just these subtle shifts in how human beings are different. Like my favorite actors are like Gene Hackman. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gene Hackman is always Gene Hackman, but there's something that shifts about him when he's playing these different parts. And I mean, of course I look for different parts, but I don't need it to necessarily be like a circus.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that honesty at the core. I think we know what that means, but every actor or actress is... that honesty has a flavor to it, right? I mean,
right.
So what's your flavor, Greta? Have you figured that out?
I don't know. I feel like I don't. I think it's bad to try to know yourself too well in some ways. I mean, I think to be spontaneous and to be open is important, but to try to be too sure of what you're selling, I think makes it not good.
That is so interesting,
right?
I mean, we all watch and we all decide what your flavor is, but. You know,
right.
Maybe that's dangerous. Maybe that's the kryptonite, Ellen, for an actor herself to define it or even to talk about it. What do you think?
I don't know. I always feel like there's just like constant discovery. I mean, I don't want that to sound too cheesy, but I feel like anything you step into, you're going to learn an incredible amount, you know, whether you feel like it's gone well or it's gone not as well. I feel like there's just always constant learning. And I think that's what I've been, you know, excited about since I was a kid, since I first started sort of experiencing emotional shift with this work, or like some form of transformation that I didn't even necessarily understand what it was. And that sort of rush of, I suppose, what acting is, became something that I was just so interested in and so interested in learning more about. And that's just what I continue doing. And it allows me to learn, quite frankly, more about myself, too. And
sure.
I think every role offers something new. And I can never sort of anticipate what is about to happen next, nor do I kind of sit down and think of what role that I want to do. You know, it's more it more just sort of coincides weirdly too sometimes with like what's going on, like with your life and like where you are and then what you choose to do from that place, you know?
You find an intersection, off it goes. Jane in Boston. Jane, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Ellen, I have a question for you. I definitely enjoyed you in Juno, but I have a question about an earlier movie that you made, Hard Candy, which was a very disturbing film. Someone recommended it to me because they said what a great actress you were. So my question is, how old were you? I know you were quite young when you made that film, and what was that like for you?
This is the film, Jane, where Ellen plays a young girl entrapping and torturing a pedophile.
Yes, it is.
How old were you, and what was it like, Ellen?
I was 17 years old, and I was living in Toronto at the time. I think I was 16 when I read that script, and it just completely blew my mind. It was, you know, one of the most incredible things I'd read, and just desperately wanted to do it, and was incredibly fortunate that David Slade wanted to do that movie together. And that, as a young actor, was an incredibly important experience. It was a film we shot in Los Angeles in about 18 days, and it's just Patrick Wilson and I in a house for a film that has definitely a very, very dark element
scary.
To it, but I think presents a lot of a gray area, essentially, that can make people uncomfortable in regards to the subject matter.
What do you think it was that you were 17 years old? What do you think it was that drew you to doing, you know, such a dark film about a young,
well,
very young
so
woman
funny,
torturing a pedophile? What, you know?
Well, yeah, psychologically torturing a man who brings home a 14-year-old girl after meeting him online. So let's preface it with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is interesting about this film and what was very interesting about the experience of press with this movie is people are constantly telling me how dark it is, how their, you know, men will sit down to do an interview with me and be like, oh, I feel afraid of you. Make sure there's no scissors in here, and making all these jokes. And I was like, you know that basically every time I turn on primetime television, I see a woman who has been stabbed and in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And like the amount of violence towards women that we watch in cinema and just television every evening is quite frankly like traumatizing and I guess sort of accepted in this way. And then here you do a film where this girl is, you know, taken home by this man, and she proceeds to psychologically torture him.
Yeah.
And it turned into this huge, huge, fiery debate. And I was quite frankly shocked because
– hardly balances the scales.
It's not even like – I don't even think it's like a penny on the scale.
Well, what do you think when you watch the news around? Everybody's been watching the Jerry Sandusky trial lately. I don't know if you do that in your world, but a lot of the country is. The Penn State coach who is accused of sexually molesting a whole lot of young people. Do these former roles come back to you? Do you have an insight on that or an interest because of that role, or do you turn it off because been there, done that?
It's not something that I'm following too intensely, but it's obviously a problem, and it's a problem with other, specific institution. I thought, I don't know if anyone's seen that incredible documentary that Amy Berg made, Deliver Us from Evil. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good perspective on the matters of abuse and the child abuse in the Catholic Church.
Tough world. Adam in Buffalo, New York. Adam, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I have a question for Greta Gerwig. Mm-hmm. I recently read about her making her directorial debut, and I was wondering what it's like to be an actress also dabbling in those other venues, and if she intends to make a trajectory like Woody did. And now today he's known very much so as a director, even though in his original films he also acted to them and did things like stand-up comedy, if she is also intending to make this type of move in her career.
You mean acting and directing both, sort of play both sides of that line?
I started out writing and co-creating a lot of the movies that I was doing, and I co-directed a movie. I actually have not yet helmed like my own thing that I've written and directed, but I'm really planning on it. I mean, it is something that I really want to do and that I find very, fulfilling and interesting. And I don't know, part of that might just be that I have like certain limitations as an actor. And maybe I feel like I can't go quite as far artistically as I'd want to in that venue. But I feel like, I don't know, I love movies so much. And I think something I realized actually making this movie with Woody Allen is I had always had a dream to be in a Woody Allen movie. And I think gradually as I've gotten a little bit older, I'm 28, and I think I realize that maybe I wanted to be in a Woody Allen movie, and also maybe I wanted to be a director. Maybe that was that, like, as much as I wanted to be part of his world, maybe I wanted to be the person who was also making the world. So, yes, I hope so, but it seems it's so hard to predict these things, and it seems scary to state a desire or an intention, but... yeah, that is what I'd like to do.
If you're ready to step up and do some of it, and clearly you've been stepping up and doing plenty. Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig are with us. I want to ask about, I mean, here you are, young in your careers. I think, Ellen, you're 25, Greta, you're 28. Great starts on careers. And here you look out on this the gender landscape in Hollywood, and I wonder how that looks to you. There's the Meryl Streep with her famous commencement address at Barnard College. I think that's your alma mater, Greta.
This I is, went to Barnard,
yeah. There you go. There you go. 2010.
Meryl and Obama.
Yeah.
That's our commencement
speech. Yeah, they've been scoring some big names there. Here's just a little bit of her talking in that 2010 address about Hollywood and how actresses fit in.
Because as people in the movie business know, the absolute hardest thing in the whole world is to persuade a straight male audience to identify with a woman protagonist, to feel themselves embodied by her. This, more than any other factor, explains why we get the movies we get.
Meryl Streep, 2010. Ellen, do you agree? If you're the protagonist in a movie, and does it ever strike you that it's tough to get men to, you know, fully feel themselves embodied in your character?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like a lot of issues there. I think it's not dissimilar to what I was talking about earlier with Hard Candy, where there just seems to be such like a swayed view of or even like the debate that occurs, you know, when a movie like that comes out, despite the fact that, you know, when I think of the amount of women beaten and murdered and raped in films and television I've seen is so profound. Or you can look at an example like shooting a movie like Juno, and then after a movie like Hard Candy, and then doing a movie like Whippet, or playing Ariadne in Inception, and I'll, you know, I'll be doing an interview a lot with men or women, and I get a lot of the, as Greta seems to get as well, and of course she should, she's, you know, intelligent and talented and awesome, but like this sort of like, oh, you like to play a lot of strong female roles. Like, are you do you consider yourself a feminist? Like, oh, you like to play a lot of grounded, strong, different kinds of girls. And it's like, I don't think young male actors are being asked, you know,
right.
about the
What's
strong
the
male
strong?
Roles
right,
that right, they're playing.
Right.
And I think this is what shows this like strange balance. So that when we have a character like Juno, who dresses the way Juno does, who has the way of navigating the world that she does, who has the control that she does, it seems so unusual to people when it's like, well, that's what I resonate to, and that's what most of my friends in high school were like. And I think there's just such absolutely an altered view of what a young woman is and what a woman is, and hopefully that's something that can change, and maybe that will change with, you know, more female writer directors and more women in production companies and studios,
yeah.
and allow the opportunity to see different kinds of, not just women, people, you know.
What do you say, Greta? Gender identity as confining for your generation still? We thought we were trying to move past that.
No, I mean, I think I certainly think that, you know, feminists of the last century have moved us forward an incredible amount. And I went to Barnard, and I'm very much oh my gosh, music.
Woo!
It sucks. Being a woman in Hollywood, it's terrible. I mean, I feel like they're still figuring it out. They're still figuring out that women are people. But I think people are hungry for that, as is evidenced by like how well Juno did, or how excited people are that Meryl Streep's actually a real person.
Yeah.
I think that shows that people want it.
Well, we hope that you spend long careers bringing it to us and appreciate the work you've done already. Got a little orchestra on the Spanish steps there from Woody Allen's To Rome With Love. Ellen Page and Greta Gerwig both star in it. Ellen, thanks very much for being with us this hour. Great to have you.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Wonderful to be here.
And Greta Gerwig, thank you so much for your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.